Think working as an occupational therapy practitioner within the prison setting is way different than any other practice area? Think again. Today, I'll be digging a little bit deeper into my thoughts and reflections from my chat with Kwaku Adjuman from the OT and Chill podcast. And if you haven't listened to the episode yet, go give it a listen at otforlife.com/69 or on your favorite podcast player. And it's titled The Impact of OT in the Prison System. And if you want to chime in on the discussion and share your thoughts about the episode, head on over to otforlife.com/community. If you're interested in occupational therapy, this is the place for you. This show aims to explore our profession by sharing who we are and what we do. Because for us, occupational therapy is more than just a job. Hi, I'm Sarah. Welcome to OT for Life. Every single interview that I do, especially when it's with somebody who works in a practice area that I perceive to be different than mine, I always go into it with the mentality that, quote, I don't know anything about this practice area. Call it my own assumptions, which I'll discuss a little bit more about that in just a second, but I always think that it must be so completely different than anything that I do. And to be honest, I always get a little bit nervous when I'm talking to somebody that works in a practice area that I am not familiar with at all. But I try not to let the nerves hold me back. And instead, I try to lean into the discomfort of feeling like I don't know much about it and allow myself to seek to learn as much as I possibly can during my chat with a guest. But time and time again, and by this point, I've done enough interviews to learn that while on the surface, it might seem as if what I do, say working in early intervention, and what somebody else does working in a completely different practice area, while they might be completely different, the fundamentals are all the same. And once again, I had this realization during my chat with Kwaku, as he explained his role as an OT working with young offenders in prison. At first glance, I was like, there's no way. There's no way that our work is similar, even remotely similar. But throughout our chat, I quickly realized that our practice areas were way more similar than I had originally thought. There were so many similarities between our jobs, despite our population being as different as they possibly could be. And really, over the years, I have learned the importance of understanding the framework of occupational therapy, because when you can understand the why behind what it is that you're doing, it doesn't matter what practice area you work in. You can take a client of any age or diagnosis and apply the same framework across the board. For me, I see a child and I assess their strengths and their weaknesses. I analyze the environment to see the supports and barriers. I chat with the client and their team to align my clinical reasoning with what they hope to have the client accomplish. For Kwaku, he sees a young adult and assesses their strengths and weaknesses. He analyzes their environment within the prison setting to see their supports and barriers. He chats with the client and their team to align his clinical reasoning with what they hope to have the client accomplish. The mission is simple. The goal is to get our clients doing, or back to doing, their meaningful and purposeful occupations. Regardless of setting, the fundamentals, the why behind what we do is exactly the same. My next takeaway is all about assumptions, which is another thing that we discussed in the episode. We discussed the assumptions that people make of people in prison, and Kwaku highlighted the assumptions that people in prison make of people who are not in prison. I think assumptions and biases, they're a part of our everyday practice, for good and for bad. Every practitioner tries to make sense of their cases by categorizing or lumping similarities together and kind of putting similar ones all into the same box. But the problem lies that our assumptions are based on our own personal experiences, and often they stop short of what is actually happening. While we like to put people in boxes in order to help us organize our plans of care, the fact of the matter is that everybody is different. Every person has their own experiences, their own occupations, and their own meaning behind why they do what they do. Take, for example, a person who has, say, a diagnosis of traumatic brain injury, or maybe a child with autism, or a person who's in prison because they murdered somebody. Now, I'm guessing if you have any experience with any of what I just listed, your brain probably automatically jumps to a previous client that you had, or maybe an experience that you went through with this diagnosis. And you're already coming up with things in your mind of what happened when you were working with that client, things that they were telling you, their experiences, and then your experiences going throughout the treatment process with this client, or maybe even multiple clients that have all had similar diagnoses. Now, you've probably already made an assumption based on who the person was simply by being given a label written on a piece of paper. Now I ask you, how many times have you made an assumption about someone and had that assumption be wrong? I know, I've done it, and I've had that happen many, many times. Have you ever had a person be aggressive or non-compliant with you and then later find out more about the person which explained their behavior and explained their actions? I know for me, that happens all the time, all the time. And that's why whenever I get a new referral, I actually try not to read too much into what has already been said about them. Going into my first session, going into my initial session, I try to come in with as much of a blank slate as I possibly can. And I try to meet that client where they are and meet their family where they are. And once I get in there and I start talking to them, by going in with as little assumptions or as little biases that I possibly can, it allows me to make my own reflections and not just base them on something that somebody else has written in a report or an evaluation. I know that I wouldn't want a healthcare practitioner to make an assumption about me or one of my family members, so I try to do the same for the people that I work with. I think certainly within the practice area of working within the prisons, it is important to remember the humanistic value of what we do. It might be easy to allow our own assumptions from documentation or other professionals, things that we've heard, kind of creep in and dictate our practice. But we must actively recognize this and not let it get the best of us within our clinical roles. Another realm of assumptions that we mentioned briefly in the episode is the assumptions of why people do what they do, especially when it's something that might cause a person to end up in prison. While generally people might view violence or gang activity as negative, it is easy to overlook why a person becomes violent or becomes a part of a gang in the first place. Maybe it's for survival or protection or social belonging. Maybe it's a learned behavior from when they were young. Maybe it's just to be heard and for their voice to be recognized. There are a million reasons why somebody might engage in some not so positive or productive occupations, but the focus should not be on what it is that they're doing. The focus should be on why they are doing it in the first place. Which leads me to my last takeaway from the episode, which is why we need to go beyond occupations. We need to go beyond occupations. We need to go beyond the doing of occupations. We need to figure out the true meaning of why people engage in activities so that we as practitioners can best support them, especially when they serve a huge role in a person's life, and even more so when they might not be seen as unproductive or not lead to good health or well-being. Dr. Rebecca Twinley has done some phenomenal work within this area, digging deep into how she terms it the dark side of occupation. If you're looking for more information about this, I would highly recommend checking out her work. I'll put a link to her website in the show notes, and I'm also going to link to the Occupied podcast episode that she did with Brock Cook. I can't stress how important it is for us as occupational therapy practitioners to go beyond just the act of doing within occupations and really figure out the true meaning of why people do what it is that they do. So there you have it. Three takeaways from my last podcast episode with Kwaku. Takeaway number one, the fundamentals of occupational therapy transcend practice areas. Number two, recognizing assumptions and their influence on clinical judgment. And number three, our role in going beyond occupation. I really hope that you enjoyed the episode that I did with Kwaku and would love to know any thoughts or reflections that you had. Feel free to drop them in the community, which can be found at otforlife.com/community. I also just did a fantastic IGTV with Kwaku, digging deeper into what it actually looks like in his day-to-day life as an OT in the prison setting. So to check that out, pop on over to my Instagram page, and that's at ot.4.lyfe. And be sure to watch the entire video because Kwaku drops some serious, serious knowledge bombs at the very, very end of the chat. Also, make sure to get your answers in for the question of the month. You can find out what the question is and how to leave a response at otforlife.com/voicemail. Any voicemails and comments that I get in the community might just be used in an upcoming podcast episode. So get your responses in, because that will give you a shot to win some OT for Life swag too. I can't wait to hear your responses for the question of the month, and also your own thoughts and takeaways from my episode with Kwaku. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you like what you hear, here are three easy ways you can help support the show. One, head over to otforlife.com to find out more about any resources discussed on the show. Remember, that's O-T, the number 4, L-Y-F-E.com. Two, share the podcast with a friend, colleague, or anyone interested in occupational therapy. Three, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast player so you don't miss out on any upcoming episodes. And while you're there, be sure to leave a review saying how much you love the show. Thanks again. I'll catch you next time, OT for Lifers.